this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and this is the Sunday where we focus on Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God. And while I was preparing for the sermon today, I consulted a couple of women theologians whom I admire and enjoy reading their material, Nadia Bowles Weber and Rachel Held Evans. So this sermon is basically inspired by those two women. So, this is the part of the story where Mary has already conceived and is pregnant and has been sent by the angel Gabriel to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who is probably old enough to be her grandmother, and they are both going to bear holy children. And Elizabeth calls Mary blessed. And then Mary sings that for generations to come, people will call her blessed. But now let's think about how the story played out for Mary. Is that what being blessed looks like? We usually use that word a little differently. We pronounce it a little differently. We say, we are so blessed to be able to live in a part of the world where we feel safe. We sometimes say, we are so blessed to be able to have as much of the world's good things as we do. But how exactly is Mary using that word? Did she feel blessed as her unwed belly grew under the gaze of disapproving others? Did she feel blessed when she was laboring and giving birth amongst sheep and straw? Did she feel blessed when her heart dropped, realizing that she left her 12-year-old son in Jerusalem? At his arrest, did she feel blessed seeing the rope dig into the wrists of the flesh of her flesh? Did she feel blessed when they nailed him to the cross? No one else was his mother, just her. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus, God and man. Maybe this is why Martin Luther said, we hail Mary, Queen of Heaven, because in her we come to know that ours is the God who comes nearest to us in our brokenness. And I think that the prophet Mary of Nazareth had a particular wisdom from God. I'm not convinced that she was perpetually full of nothing but virtue, virginity, and pure receptivity. But I am sure that she wasn't just another Joe Schmo who doesn't deserve any more honor given her than any other character in the Bible. That, yes, she said to God, was fierce. I think Mary deserves our devotion because in her we see what casting our lot and being blessed by the God of Israel really looks like. That being blessed means seeing God in the world and trusting that God is at work even in things we can't see or understand or imagine. Mary said, God, I'm yours. Let's do this thing. She said yes. She didn't say yes because she thought that by doing so, God was going to shower her with cash and prizes, or even that her life would be long and healthy. No. She understood something that I sometimes have difficulty understanding, that being given a blessing is not the same as being given a present. She said yes, not based on the expectation of things being awesome for her, but based on the expectation that God can create something out of nothing. And the thing is, we just never know, simply based on how our life feels, if it is filled with blessing or not. To be a people marked by the faith of Mary is to be a people who say, okay, I don't understand what's going on, and I know that my life isn't going to end up looking like one I would choose out of a catalog, but I trust that God is at work in all of it. Blessedness is being used for God's purpose more than it's getting what I want or things being easy. Blessedness is being used for God's purpose. Christmas itself isn't about getting what you want or making sure you're giving others what they want. To experience Christmas is to trust that God can do this thing again. God can again be born in me, in you, in this brokenness of a gorgeous world. And having said yes, then Mary sang. There's nothing like a song about turning the whole social order upside down to warm the heart or to scare the bejesus out of you. So maybe that's what God is up to here, turning upside down what human society takes for granted. The favored become common, and the common become favored. The barren become pregnant. The hungry filled. The rich become hungry. The proud are leveled, and the downtrodden are lifted up until it's all blurred past distinction. The prophet Mary sings in the new upside-down reality of God's kingdom come on earth. And this is the kingdom's battle song. It's your song, people of God, all of you. And also a song for all the other women whose children died at the hands of others. A song for the mother of Tina Fontaine. A song for the 141 mothers of those kids who were killed in Peshawar, Pakistan last year. A song for the mothers of the two clerks just killed in the convenience store robberies in Edmonton. Mary sings of God's dream for us. She sings the song of this God who entered so fully into the mess of human existence and turned around our expectations and our religiosity enough to usher in a new reality. And this reality is that God became one of us so that we might become children of God. In the 4th century, St. Gregory of Nyssa wrote, "What was achieved in the body of Mary will happen in the soul of everyone who receives the word." You, all of you, are also blessed and full of grace. See, God is at work in you, in much the same way God was at work in Mary. Not necessarily in that the Holy Spirit will cause you to conceive and give birth, but I do think that you carry in your body the blessing of God. And having faith like Mary means allowing yourself to trust that. So, may the God, through whom nothing is impossible, help you to be Mary's, saying a fierce, or a timid, or a quiet, or a confident, yes, yes. May it be with you all, according to God's word.